Why, hello, everyone. Welcome back to yet another decent episode of The Chill Pill, the place where you can just sit back and relax. Okay, so today's episode is going to be a special episode. We've already covered what stress is like from the point of view of a chiropractor, and we heard what he had to say about the industry he works in, and we also heard from a psychology professor who gave us a better understanding of what stress is and how to decrease stress. Today, however, we will be talking to the everyday college student who also works at Lockhurst Elementary School in West Hills. She's crazy, but boy, is she cool. The magnificent Sarah Sheridan, everybody. How's it going, Sarah?
It's going well. How's it going with you?
It's going pretty dandy.
That's awesome.
What did you do today?
I went to class, and then I went home, and now I'm here.
All right. I think that we should just jump right into it, shall we?
Yes.
Okay. Now, what would you say has been the biggest source of stress in your life?
Probably my job.
Your job?
Yes.
All right. I just said you work at Lockhurst Elementary. Let's talk about that.
All right. We can talk about that.
Okay. So, why do you think that it's stressful working there?
I'd say it's stressful because you're in charge of, like, 50 kids at one time, and you're in charge of their well-being. And if you do something wrong, it could potentially put the child's life in danger, and that's a really big responsibility on your shoulders that I'd say a lot of jobs don't have.
Okay. And what is it? What is your position exactly there?
We're coaches, I guess. We're called coaches. Some people call us just like after school care, you know, employees. There's not like a official term exactly.
So you're like kind of an aide, right?
Yeah.
Like you aid the children.
Yes. I'm there to watch them between the time that they're out of school to the time that their parents are able to come pick them up.
Okay. And do you stay there the whole time or is it?
The official hours are from the time the bell rings until 6:30. I typically leave at 5. Sometimes I stay the whole time, but it depends.
Really? Okay. So you have like a little gap. You have a little gap to, like, do whatever you want, right?
You mean between when they're out and when I have to start working? Yeah, that is usually used so we can plan an activity to do with them.
Okay. Because
since the parents are paying for the program, you kind of want to, like, make it special. So we usually do an activity, like, we'll decorate stuff, make a cupcake. Usually it involves drawing, anything art-related. We do a lot of.
Okay. Why did you choose this job?
Well, I chose this job because I had connections with it, and I was also in Girl Scouts for 12 years. So I had already had experience working with kids because when I was a Girl Scout and you worked like camps, you were a counselor. And being a counselor is almost like the same exact thing as what my current job is, where you just like watch kids, direct them, tell them what to do, make sure they're good, you know, the basics.
And what stresses would you say are unique to your job that differ from that of, you know, let's say a round table pizza?
Well, okay. I would say the unique stresses, kind of what I said before, where you usually aren't responsible for the lives of people during your jobs. Like, maybe a lifeguard would be responsible, but, like, that's what my job is to make sure the kids are okay. If there's a lockdown or something, I'm supposed to make sure they're all inside, all okay. I have to have my eyes on them at all times, which is really difficult because when you're outside and you're playing with them, it's probably about 50 or 60 kids all outside in this big area, and you have to have your eyes on all of them at the same time. And a lot of parents expect for you to have your eyes on them at all times, and it's really impossible because if a kid gets hurt and I don't see it, that's me not doing my job. But sometimes it just happens that I'm not looking in the right area at the right time, and then you don't see something, so you don't know what really happened because there's always different stories with children. And then that's when you get in trouble, basically, is when you don't see things happen. You're distracted, which is really easy to be distracted with, you know, 60 kids running around. So I'd say that's what's unique is you just have to be on it at all times. There's really no downtime with my job, yeah.
That does seem pretty stressful.
It is pretty stressful.
Okay. Yeah. Do you have any stories for us at your job?
Like
stories that entail like, oh yeah, this is a pretty bad day.
I would say a bad day is when I'm constantly having kids coming up to me saying that they got hurt, or for instance, if there was a kid one time who came up to me and said that he got punched in the face by someone. And then so
was it
I
you?
No, I didn't punch him in the face. That wasn't me, but it was someone.
That's good.
Yeah. It was a different kid that punched him in the face, and I didn't see it happen. And so it's hard because you don't know all the times, like, if a kid is exaggerating, how hurt he is. And he seemed okay to me. And then we went back inside afterwards, and we're doing a cupcake. And cupcakes are actually really hard to do because it's, like, none of the kids know how to frost a cupcake. So you have to frost probably 30 cupcakes in, like, less than an hour, which is interesting. And when his mom came in to pick him up, I completely forgot to tell her that he got punched in the face during the day. And
oh,
then,
my God.
I know.
How could you do that?
I guess I was distracted doing my job, but whatever. And then, so then later on, my supervisor texted me and said, you know, did you see that happen? And I said, no, I didn't see it happen, but I was the one who dealt with the situation. And she said, did you tell the parent? And I was like, no. I was doing stuff and I forgot. So you just have to kind of admit that you just forgot. And then that tends to happen a lot, at least to me, is I just because there's so many things that happen in a day where kids get hurt. Kids literally get hurt probably every 5 minutes. So it really depends on the parent and their standards, whether or not you tell them, because some parents really want to know every single thing that happens. And some parents really could not care less, like, what happened to their kid that day. Like, oh, he got hurt, he's fine. Unless he got seriously injured, then that's different. But
if he's missing an arm, then they'll probably say something.
I'd probably tell the parent if he was missing an arm. But, like, so that happens to me a lot where I just, you know, a kid gets hurt, bumps his head, and I'm like, he's fine, I'm fine. And then his parent comes in, and I'm just like, you know, I either forget or I just don't bring it up. Because sometimes you're not even there really to see the parent pick them up. And then you find out later that they emailed the company and said, like, hey, my kid got hurt and no one told me. Why is that? What happened? Because, you know, they're not getting the story from an adult, and that's the problem, because when they get the story from their child, you don't necessarily know, like, what exactly happened. Because kids
I can definitely see that.
Kids are biased.
Yeah.
So it's not the best. And that does happen a lot to me, just, like, forgetting to tell parents things.
Okay, so let's segue into school now.
All right.
Because I started out the whole show by saying you're a college student. Is that correct?
I am, yes.
And where do you go to school?
I go to Cal State University, Northridge.
That's also known as CSUN.
Some people call it that.
But most people don't call it that. Most people call it by what you just
said. Yeah, Cal State University, Northridge.
That's the correct way to say it.
Yeah.
Okay. So, why do you find school to be so stressful?
I would find school to be stressful because, at least in college, which I didn't experience as much in high school, it's usually around midterm season and final season that things are most stressful, because that's when all the assignments are due and then you have to study for all the tests. And I think that's what I find most stressful are those, like, really long multiple choice tests where there's just so much, you know, material. And if
cumulative tests.
Yes. If you don't have a study guide to follow, it's like, I don't know how to prepare for it, because we've been doing so much throughout the semester. It's impossible for me to just, like, go over every single thing and for every single one of my classes. And I'm usually not that good at those, like, really long multiple choice tests.
Oh, I'm terrible.
Yeah.
I'm
like, if I get a C on those, I'm like, wow, I did great.
My anthropology teacher last semester, he gave me, this is how he set up the class, okay? There was, like, pretty much no final. Like, it was a final, but it was just, like, one chapter. So he would do, like, chapter one, that's your first test, chapter two, second test, and then it would just go all the way.
So,
like,
each chapter you had to take a test after?
Yeah.
That sounds
But
awful.
It wasn't cumulative.
I guess, yeah, that would probably be best, because the material's fresh in your mind every time you take the test.
You don't have to worry about the old material.
Yeah, because that's what you struggle with the most, is things don't stay in your brain for that long.
Oh, no.
And then I feel like with the way a lot of my classes are set up, I don't even remember things that I learned in that class, like, a year later, or even a month later. It's just gone.
Yeah, that happens to me most of the time, too.
Yeah.
And it's because of, like, the cumulative stuff.
Yeah.
Like, something always goes out when you learn new stuff.
Because the stress is, like, being able to memorize everything.
Mm.
And so you memorize everything, but if you're memorizing it, you're not, like, absorbing it, and then it's gone.
Yeah, that's... With history, most of the professors that I've had with history, they say, you know what? Just have a general understanding about the dates. You don't have to memorize the dates.
Oh, so just about, like, the events?
Yeah, just the events, because that's, like, the important part.
That
like,
is the important
and plus
part,
the
yeah.
dates with history... They're very generalized.
Yeah,
like it's like 1300 to 1600 BC or something like that.
I don't really know dates, so that would be ideal.
I don't know either, and it's because my history teachers told me not to learn dates. So,
well, that was nice of them.
They're pretty nice people.
Shout out.
Shout out to professors.
Yeah.
That teach history.
You guys are awesome.
They're pretty awesome. Now, what would you say are like differences between high school stress compared to college stress? Like when you first got accepted into college, like. What was kind of like the kick in the face? Like, hey, this is college.
Honestly, there is a lot of stress for me in college is time management. Because when you went to high school, I didn't have to worry about getting places on time. You know, I always got there on time.
Mm.
For the first 3 years of high school, my mom dropped me off. So she was there to, like, make sure I was on it. But with college, I remember I really first had to start learning, like, how to get to places on time. Like, I really did not have to learn that beforehand.
I'm still trying to
learn that. And then, especially with CSUN parking, I don't know if Pierce students experience this, but the CSUN parking is incredibly stressful if you don't know, like, the exact window of time. So, basically, like, up until 9:30, you can find a parking spot, but then from probably, like, 10 to 12:31, you're just not going to have to, you're going to have to park probably like a mile away from campus in order to, and that was really stressful for me because now I sort of like schedule my classes around that the best I can.
Around the parking?
Yeah. Like I don't take 11 a.m. classes. I try not to because those going in at 11 a.m. is a nightmare and that is really hard to find parking spots. And then, you know, the stress of driving around in a parking lot, like knowing your class is starting is really, that's like crying.
That's
stress.
The worst, but yeah. You know what's even worse than that?
What's worse?
People taking your parking
spot.
Oh,
yeah, that's happened to me before.
Really?
Yeah, I've left notes
on
cars.
I want to hear that story.
Well, I was with my sister, Caitlin Sheridan, and we were on our way to one of our classes, 11 a.m., of course, because that's the horrible time, and what you do is you ask people, like, if you can take their spots when they're walking in, you can tell they're leaving, so
that's
we
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah, that's really the only way to do it at that time, because there's just no spots.
Mm.
But so we asked her if we could take her spot, a woman walking in, and she said, sure. So she starts going down this aisle, and then so we turn down that aisle, but there's a car that was already there waiting in that aisle. And then I can tell that car saw us, had that interaction, and then was like, oh, well, she's leaving, even though they asked, I'm going to take the spot. So then since my sister's driving, I get out of the car and I go and tell the woman in the car, I say, hey, we asked her if we could get a parking spot. Like, would you mind not taking the spot? And she's like, no, I've been here for 3 years. I know how this works. So, you know, I'm going to take that spot.
I agree with her. If you've been in a school for 3 years, you have the ability to take anyone's spot.
Yeah, but, you know, I've been there for 3 years and I understand that you respect people who ask.
I also agree with that view.
So you agree with both?
More so your view.
Thank you.
The first thing I said was a joke.
Well, yeah, that's what made me mad is I'm like, why do you, whatever. I mean, it's in the past, but in the moment I was really upset with her. I was like, that's, because like usually if I'm in that situation where I see someone ask, I let them take that spot because
it's courtesy.
They, you know, obviously I could steal it, but I'm not, you know, not that type of
person.
I mean,
if you did steal it, like you have to worry about the other person getting pissed.
Yeah.
Like, they would just, like, I don't want to deal with somebody yelling at me saying, oh,
yeah.
That was my spot. What are you doing?
Yeah.
I can't just walk away from that. Like, I don't want them to key my car or something.
Yeah. So, I don't ever really want to be in that situation again. So, I just usually park really far away and just walk. And then I'm like, well, I'm getting exercise, even though
it's. Yeah, like muscles.
Yeah.
Okay.
Even though it's, like, usually pretty hot.
I don't know why it's so hot today.
It is pretty hot today.
Was it March 28th?
29th, I think.
I think it's 28th.
I guess we'll find out.
We'll find out after the show. But yeah, it's super hot out.
It is.
Okay, so what are you majoring in at CSUN?
I am majoring in sociology, which is basically the study of society. So it's really broad, can be applied to almost anything.
And why did you choose that as your major?
I chose that as my major because I actually took a Pierce class while I was in high school, and it was general sociology, and I really liked it. And I just really enjoyed it. And I was like, I'm going to try and put my career somewhere in something I enjoy. Hmm. And then I decided that sociology was the way to go.
Now, I don't know if it goes for you, but definitely for me, it's the idea of finding a job after college. I don't know if you find that to be a problem or...
I actually probably stress more about that than my actual classes at CSUN. I'm not really worried about being able to graduate because I've made it this far. I only have 1 year left, and I've basically maintained above a 3.5 the whole time. So I'm not that worried about it.
That's very good.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And I think what worries me a lot is the fact that I chose to go with a major that is more for pleasure. You know, if I chose like physics, there's probably more well-paying jobs in that major. But they always say, you know, you can't get a social science degree without going in for a master's after. And I haven't decided if I want to go in for a master's, but I'm starting to think it might be like my only option if I really want to get like a job. And I feel that is what stresses me the most, because that's really the main reason any of us go to college, is that way so we can get a career afterwards that, you know, not only we enjoy, but also pays enough so you can survive.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's like the idea of graduating is nice. But it's also terrifying because you're like, then afterwards, it's like, that's it.
Well, really, the beginning of college is showing you how to be, like, really on your own.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, high school, like, the last part, you're, like, driving to school by yourself. Mm-hmm. Well, at least I did.
I did, too.
I had my mom, like, drive me the beginning. But, and then, like, all the college stuff, like, my parents helped me out with. But then once I started when I came to college, it was all kind of on my own.
Like, the paperwork and stuff like that?
More so like the idea of where I'm going with it.
Oh, okay.
Like what classes I'm going to take, like going to the counselor, really just managing. You said time management. That's that's one of the number one things right there.
You do realize like when you're 18 going into college that you've never had to like get yourself places on time before.
Oh no.
Also, I never like knew anything about like street and like names very much until afterwards, because now I drive everywhere.
Well, I happen to be a delivery driver at Round Table, and that kind of helped out with street names.
Round Table on Mason and Devonshire?
Mason and Devonshire. Monday through Thursday, it's open from 11 a.m. to 9:30 p.m.
Really?
And then Friday to Saturday, it's to 10:30.
Is it good?
I'd say it's probably the best pizza ever made.
That's a statement.
If you're willing to drop your whole paycheck on pizza for the day, go ahead, because we do have expensive pizza.
But, you know, you get what you pay for.
Most of the time. If I'm making it, yeah, you get what you pay for. Okay. So, one aspect of school that I found helpful for me was Rate Your Professor. Do you use that?
I use that every time I register.
Have you ever used it? Have you ever not used
Write Your Professor? No, I have never not used Rate My Professor.
I have definitely not used it.
I do find that with Rate My Professor, I can usually tell when I should trust someone's review or not. Because sometimes their reviews, I'm just like, what are you complaining about?
A lot of teachers have complaints with Rate Your Professor. Yeah. Because some people are, like, you just see a bunch of like, oh, yeah, he's funny, this guy's great. And then all of a sudden you're like, You come across a review that's like, he's the worst teacher.
Yeah, so you just know that they had a bad experience and that now they're just writing.
Yeah. Then you start to think about that person's life.
Yeah.
Who's that person?
I want to rate that person.
Why are they so angry about this professor?
And rate them as a human being and see how they feel.
Absolutely. But you found success in Rate Your Professor.
Yeah. I've usually always, because I have pretty early registration dates, I don't really have to struggle. I don't deal with the stress of having like not getting the class you want, because I've always had priority registration. And so I usually almost always have really well rated professors. And then this semester, I had to schedule, for the first time, I had to schedule my school like classes around my job, which was hard. But so I had to take a professor that had a pretty low rating, and I actually really like her. So I'm kind of like, you know, maybe, I mean, luckily it's usually if you have a good rating and write with a professor, you can be pretty sure that the professor is good. But now I'm wondering how many professors have a low rating that I actually would have enjoyed, because this is an example of one that I just took this semester.
That so is a good point you bring up.
Yeah.
That is not the same with me, though. I didn't do Rate Your Professor for, I'm not going to say any names, but for a geometry, not a geometry, a stats teacher.
Yeah.
That did not go well.
Well, stats is not something you can mess around with either.
Absolutely not.
Because that is a math class.
Yeah. Yeah.
And math is hard.
I really am not a math person.
Me neither.
I don't like math at all.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll do it because otherwise I'm not going to get out of here, but.
Yeah, you should probably get out of here.
Yeah. I should probably get out of here.
Yeah, probably.
All right. So finally, are there any tips that you can give to college students that are also working and trying to manage like a social life?
I personally don't struggle with that as much because with my job, I get like nights. I don't work nights. I'm off at like 5 every day. But I guess I would say like if it's stressing you out, like if you don't feel like you have enough time, because I know a lot of people who have like retail jobs and their managers or whatever just schedule them way too much. I'd say you probably have to be really like assertive and just tell your manager like, I'm a full-time student, like I can't do this many hours, because I know a lot of some individuals who they feel like obligated to the work to work those extra hours, like they work a 30-hour week and they also are a full-time student.
I don't
and
I'm understand
like,
how
you just
some
have
people
to like just refuse, like tell your manager like, I am a full-time student, this is not going to work out, I can't like balance it,
and they'll pressure you, they'll be like, oh, but you're such a good
but
worker.
You have an excuse.
Yeah,
like you're a full-time student. Most people don't even have jobs as a student.
You're in this life for you.
Yeah,
not Roundtable Pizza.
Don't tell your boss that though, because I'll fire you.
Okay, well, that's it. That wraps up the episode. Thank you very much, Sarah, for coming to the beautiful Pierce College campus.
It was a pleasure.
Was it?
Yes.
Thank you for being honest. Thank you for coming here in order to give us a real-life perspective on stress. I'm your host, Ashton Cox, and this was The Chill Pill, the place where you can just sit back and relax. All right. See ya.
Bye.
Bye.